Welcome to episode 1415 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive. 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We have explored the 8th commandment from many angles. We have looked at theft, dramatic and subtle. We have examined its roots in greed. We have seen how repentance leads to restoration. We have discovered how integrity rebuilds trust. But now we must look at the fullness of what the commandment calls us toward. The 8th commandment forbids theft. But beyond that, it calls us to something positive. It calls us to be faithful stewards. It calls us to generosity. It calls us to open-handed living. This is the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 6.
Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share.
The opposite of theft is not merely the absence of taking. The opposite of theft is generosity. The opposite of grasping is open-handed living. The opposite of hoarding is sharing. And generosity is not just about ethics. Generosity is about flourishing. When we give, when we share, when we live with open hands, we experience something that grasping can never produce: peace, joy, and connection. Think about what theft and generosity represent. Theft says, "What belongs to you belongs to me. I will take it." Generosity says, "What I have belongs to God and belongs to all of us. I will share it." Theft is closed-fisted, grasping, the refusal to let go. Generosity is open-handed, flowing, the willingness to release. Theft fragments community, creates suspicion, isolates people. Generosity builds community, creates trust, connects people. Theft says, "There is not enough. I must secure what is mine." Generosity says, "There is enough. I trust that my needs will be met. I can share." These are opposite postures, opposite approaches to life. Open-handed living looks like trust. Trust that God provides. Trust that you have what you need. Trust that you do not need to grasp or hoard. It looks like willingness to share. When someone needs something, you give it. Not reluctantly, not grudgingly, but freely. It looks like freedom from anxiety about possessions. You do not constantly worry about losing what you have. You do not spend your energy protecting your stuff. You are free to focus on relationships and on God. It looks like generosity that extends beyond what is comfortable, like giving even when you have limited means. It looks like sacrifice that costs something. Jesus illustrates this in Luke 21.
As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in 2 very small copper coins.
"I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these rich people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on."
The widow has almost nothing. She gives away her last coins. This is open-handed living. Trust. Generosity that costs everything. And Jesus says she has given more than the rich who give from their abundance, because she has given from her poverty. She has trusted God with her very survival. Generosity is not only about money. It extends to everything God has given us, to treasure. Yes, we are called to share our money, possessions, material resources. We are called to give to those in need, called to support causes that matter, to invest in the kingdom. But generosity extends beyond money, to talent. We are also called to share our abilities. Whatever our gifts, whether for teaching, healing, organizing, we share. We use our talents not just for personal gain, but for the common good. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 4, verse 10.
"Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms."
You are a steward of your talents, not the owner. God has given them to you to use in the service of others, and time. We are also called to share our time. Time is perhaps the most precious resource. We can always make more money, always develop more skills, but we cannot make more time. When you give your time to someone, when you listen to them, help them, invest in them, you are giving something irreplaceable. You are saying, "You are important. You matter enough that I will give you my time." Open-handed living means being generous with time. It means making yourself available. It means not hoarding your hours for yourself alone. Why should we be generous? Why should we live with open hands? One reason is that we are not here forever. We are temporary. Our possessions will not accompany us beyond this life. Jesus, in Matthew 6, verse 24.
No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
You cannot serve both. You must choose. Will you serve God, or will you serve money? Will you trust God, or will you trust your possessions? And Jesus emphasizes the temporary nature of wealth earlier in that same chapter.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal.
Earthly treasures do not last. They deteriorate. They are stolen. They are lost. But treasures in heaven last forever. And how do you store up treasures in heaven? Through generosity. Through giving, through using what you have been given to serve God and others. An eternal perspective changes everything. If you know your possessions will not accompany you beyond this life, you are freed to be generous. You are freed from the anxiety of accumulation. You are freed to invest in what matters eternally. And there is something remarkable about generosity. It produces joy. Paul in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 8 and 9.
I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the eagerness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich.
Paul is encouraging generosity, and he appeals not to obligation, but to grace. He appeals to Christ's example of generous self-giving, and there is joy in generosity. When you give, when you see the impact on someone's life, when you know that you have made a difference, there is deep satisfaction. There is joy that cannot be produced by accumulation or consumption. But generosity is not careless spending. Generosity is wise stewardship. You are a steward of what God has given you. You are accountable for how you use it. You must be faithful. You must be wise. This means you give thoughtfully. You consider where your giving will have the most impact. You do not give recklessly or to enable destructive behavior. You manage your own resources responsibly. You do not give everything away and then burden others to care for you. You provide for yourself and your family. You work to generate resources that you can then share. You do not simply consume. You produce. You contribute. You create wealth that can be invested in others' well-being. You are accountable to God for how you steward what has been given. You will give account for whether you have been faithful, whether you have been wise, whether you have used what you have for the common good and for God's kingdom. Here is something remarkable. Generosity produces abundance. Listen to what Jesus teaches in Luke 6.
Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you.
Give, and you will receive. This is not about earning a return on your investment. This is about God's economy. When you give, God gives. When you are generous, God is generous to you. And listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9.
Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work.
Sow generously and reap generously. Give cheerfully and God will bless you abundantly. This is the promise. This is the economy of God's kingdom. We honor the eighth commandment not just by avoiding theft, but by practicing generosity. We honor it by living with open hands. We honor it by sharing our time, our talent, and our treasure. We honor it by trusting that God provides and that we have enough to give. And in doing this, we experience the flourishing that God promises. We experience the joy of generosity. We experience the peace that comes from open-handed living. Father, help us practice generosity with our treasure, talent, and time. Help us be faithful stewards of what you have entrusted to us. Help us use what you have given for your glory and for the common good. And help us experience the deep joy that comes from generous living. That's our episode. Remember, God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.